This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. It is episode number 37, being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 29th of November, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
And you're on.
You can edit this out. Okay. Funny Yankel Goldstein, in his late 80s and still gainfully employed as a ribbon salesman, has been trying unsuccessfully to sell ribbon to Macy's for many years. Last week, he made another attempt to speak with the anti-Semitic buyer. Goldstein, the buyer says, "You've been trying to sell me ribbon for at least 25 years. Now's your chance. Send me enough yellow ribbon to reach from the tip of your nose to the tip of your penis." 3 days later, four tractor trailers full of yellow ribbon drive up to Macy's receiving dock. The ribbon buyer goes ballistic. He calls Goldstein and yells, "What's going on? I only ordered enough yellow ribbon to reach from the tip of your nose to the tip of your penis, and you send me four truckloads full?" Goldstein replies calmly, "The tip of my penis is in Poland."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Cenobeast, my friends. Cenobeast, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 37, being recorded on a Wednesday. It is the 29th of November, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I am thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you with us. We're going to have a great, great show for you today. As we're speaking, Dr. Sean Meehan has entered the studio. Parviz Vitali is in the studio. Sherry Stevens is in the studio. Woo-hoo! Was that a good, that was okay joke for you to?
It was. It caught me off guard.
It's very similar to the whole word. You know, it just doesn't feel right when
I say penis.
No, it doesn't feel right. You don't even feel right.
Penis.
Yeah,
Parviz.
You don't feel right. It doesn't feel right when Sherry says penis.
It doesn't feel right to who?
Well, she has this sweet kind of like motherly vibe, and she's like, "Penis, tipping the nose to the penis." It just, but you, on the other hand, you have inflections.
That's comedy gold,
tip
my friend.
Tip of the nose to the penis.
Oh, now do you hear yourself?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Nice to see you, Sean.
It's great to be seen. You guys all look great.
Bitch, we're all here in the room together.
It's
we're all
spooky. Here.
We got a great show for. We don't need any guests.
No.
We can just talk among ourselves.
We're the guests.
And yet.
There probably are guests.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking with Jason Nathanson. And Eliza Alfred Teague is working on a paper. Remember when we were in college and this time of year you had all these papers that came due because you didn't do them the rest of the...
On Thanksgiving break.
Exactly. So Eliza can't be here today, but I've wrangled her dad. The famous New York lawyer, New York Jew lawyer, represents Hasidim. Peter Alfred Teague.
He starts all the wars.
And he has sugar tits. So together, it's like... anyhow, what did I say? Did I say I was a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney who starts to be in a master green city planning?
No, you didn't.
You need to keep track of that. That's in order to pay the royalties.
Oh, that's right.
So now you said it twice.
Did I say it? And I already said it once?
Weren't you saying it when Sean was sitting down?
I might have been.
Okay.
I go into a trance.
See, I pay attention.
You're in just a mode right now.
I go into a trance.
Oh.
I don't remember. A trans trance.
Ah!
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
So we got a... a great show for today. This is our first show after Thanksgiving break.
Yes.
The tryptophan should be out of our systems at this point.
Yes.
You don't look low. You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, I ate so much crap for the holiday. Yeah, I did. I ate a lot.
Seasoned to taste.
I don't know why that day. I don't know why that day, but I just ate a lot of crap for like 4 days straight.
Did you try and make it appear like a turkey, or did you mold it?
You know what I did?
Was it just like a casserole?
You know what we did for the kids, and this is something we do every year for the kids because they love it. We'll take the guts out of the turkey, and we'll put a Cornish hen in there, and then on the outside we'll put some like stuffing, like you know breaded stuffing. When we cut into the turkey, we yell and scream, "Oh my god, I had a baby!"
Oh my god!
Oh, the kids lose their mind. They cry, and then I accidentally cut into the baby. They're like, "What are you doing, Uncle?" I'm like, "Sorry, you know." Oh, it's a big laugh. And hoot.
They used to do that on All Creatures Great and Small.
To my friends.
I never liked those episodes.
I Kip, can you help me out? There we go. Michael, can you help me out?
Stroke or unload?
How about you, Dick? And you, Harry? Whitney? And Sammy.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
It's fucking great.
That's it. Show's over. It's great to see you guys.
Nice to see everybody.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I slept through most of Thanksgiving.
All right.
I did. But the dreams were pleasant.
Okay.
And I had sex for the first time in a long time in those dreams. It was wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
Wow. Anybody have some Purell? Yeah. That I can pour in my ear. Switch it around.
I was better looking in my dreams, though, so don't worry.
Have you ever taken a Thanksgiving where you sort of did nothing, had no contact with anyone, and just chilled by yourself?
Not yet. I can't wait for that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
a pain in the ass.
I almost had that this last Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I was by myself all day till about 3:30, and then went out to dinner, and it was quiet and peaceful and wonderful, and I enjoyed every second of it. So
it's a nice
great.
Thing. It's a nice thing. I did it a few years ago. I don't know. There was some stuff going on in my life, you know, in the world, and it had gotten a little bit crazy. And every year I go for Thanksgiving to my friend Jim. And I think I just thought, I can't do it. I just can't do it this year. I need to get up in the morning and do what I normally do. And I need to stay home and watch DVDs and have some food of my own and, you know, something salty, something sweet. You know, I made gobble gobble sounds and cut into a piece of tofu. And it was a nice day. I missed the family aspect of it, but it wasn't a bad day. It was actually a pretty nice day. Nobody came to the door. I knew there were no bills that were going to be delivered. I wasn't going to have to deal with any kind of junk mail. The whole thing was terrific. So you spent Thanksgiving with your sister.
I did.
And went to a restaurant.
We went to a restaurant.
Was it busy?
It was very busy. We were surprised, and where we were seated, we weren't too pleased with the setup because there were a lot of people around us. But you know, as the dinner went, you know, we started eating our dinner. It was great because then you can have conversations with people. So we actually had dinner with like several people, and it was nice.
And people do go out for Thanksgiving.
They do, and that, let me tell you, that is the right thing to do. It's so nice to be served and not have to deal with all the cooking and the cleaning and the chaos that goes on. It was, you know, one year everybody should treat themselves to one of two things: either go out to dinner or order dinner from the Fairmont.
Or
do that for your mom
or a hooker.
Do they cook?
I don't know about that, but I treat myself to hooker at least once a week.
She said once a year.
Well, that takes
away that's
going to
be hard. Once a year.
Yeah, you know, inflation destroys the currency. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just keeping them busy.
Okay, gobble gobble. Is that what you order? The gobble gobble special?
Okay.
Just give me another crap souffle.
No, I just ordered the salmon. Hey,
What did he say?
He just orders the salmon.
I ordered the salmon.
Okay.
The baked salmon. No?
Hey, like the sign?
I love the sign.
I love that sign.
I love the sign. Why? Because nobody can see it.
Well, we'll put it on the website.
All right.
We now have an official on-the-air sign here in the studio. Now, this, I think, is... This is, in a nutshell, the world's global economy. This is a... So, we'll put up a photo on the website. It's one of these traditional on-the-air signs. It isn't though, sort of a classic neon sign, which are very expensive, a few hundred bucks. This is a piece of plexiglass, which has been, I guess, etched or engraved. I don't know what the right word is.
They misspelled air, though.
No, they didn't.
I'm just kidding.
In the fucking Parviz dictionary that has two pages, page one is air spelled wrong, and the other page, page two, is crap. That's it, man. Grab some air, grab some crap. We're done.
And a hooker.
Next year, the dictionary will only have one page.
Gobble, gobble. But so I ordered this on eBay, okay? So what you think, we're okay, the sign cost $20 on eBay from China.
Ding, 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 ding.
That includes shipping. Shipping, the sign is $6. Shipping is, I don't know, like 20 or 18 or something shit. Like that, right? And so somewhere in China is obviously, well, you've been
many
to these
times.
Little, they're little shops, right?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised that it is spelled correctly, because that doesn't happen all that often.
Well, somebody probably spelled it for them. I'm sure there's a template at this point. They're doing it by, right? And so, I mean, you couldn't have a sign like that made for you for, you know, $6.
At plastics with, you know.
Exactly.
You know, well, not for $6, but.
No.
You know?
Right?
No,
it would be considerably more. And what I find even more amazing is out of that $6, Kathy Lee Gifford gets $4.97. How does that happen?
And there's a blue bulb, so it's the sign in a piece of aluminum, right? So they sort of milled a piece of aluminum. It's not finished very nicely, you know. I mean, not perfectly, but there's a piece of aluminum. And in there is a neon tube, right? A blue neon tube with a fixture and a cord, and it comes with a little chain and the whole thing. And then they have to ship it here, and they ship it with stamps. They don't even have like a postage meter. I got the whole outside of the package was covered in little stamps. And somewhere a Russian spy died. Yeah. But I mean, this is the internet, this is eBay, this is the future.
And it didn't come broken. That's amazing.
No.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. What it did was it came completely covered in paper. You know, they don't peel the paper off of the plexiglass. So it took me about an hour and a really stiff scotch.
It's like opening up
slowly. Yeah, exactly.
It's like opening up a CD.
Worse. Worse. Because the CDs don't light up.
That's true.
All right.
That well, it's fun. Beautiful.
That will cut out.
That's great.
That will cut out. It's, thanks.
Yeah. It's incredible, though. You know, I was watching a special not long ago on the development of the world economy, the global economy.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the things that made this possible is the development after the Second World War of large sort of generic container ships and mating those containers to
the railroads,
to railroad travel, and then ultimately to cabs, to
gotcha,
you know, to
long haul truck things,
and that this dropped the cost, the per pound shipping cost, on a whole order of magnitude from what you had during World War II. You know, when we were supplying England and what have you,
yeah,
and that's why. I don't know how you explain the $6 part. You know, that's pretty sinister.
Yeah.
But that's why the shipping is $12. It costs pennies to move objects across oceans.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And you know, I sort of think of it as being this huge modern, you know, factory for doing this, but it probably isn't, right? I mean, it's probably a little, is it a garage?
It varies, but it's amazing at what kinds of products come out of, you know, some pretty rinky-dink places.
Right.
And, you know, but they do, they look like roll-up garages, and you can have complete factories inside.
Storage locker, right?
Yeah,
like, yeah,
it looks
exactly like a self-store.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what's amazing to me is how it goes from the factory to whatever port, because the infrastructure in China is not all completely there, and if it is, people don't obey traffic laws, and you know, it's crazy. It's like the Wild Wild East. That's what I always call it, the Wild Wild East.
It's like driving a Cupertino.
We did see someone driving on the wrong side of the road the other day, and I thought, well, you know, that happens in China all the time. It does. And so that we had a little local flavor.
What are you writing down there?
I'm just writing my will and testament.
You've got a lot written down over there.
I do have a lot. I have to say, I've been here at least
he showed
a
up
week.
Early today.
For those people in the audience who want to check out incredible resourcefulness in manufacturing stuff, Robin turned me on to a documentary about a year ago called Yank Tanks, which is about Cuba and how, you know, because of the embargo from the United States with Cuba, they have to keep all their 40s and 50s vintage
American metal going. They have to keep all those cars going.
Yeah.
And they do it in these little factories, these little sort of back room garage factories that are just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Necessity really is the mother of invention.
It really is.
Want this stuff. So you know, somewhere in China, a little 12-year-old girl made a sign for me. So thank you, sweetheart.
Is she hot?
Oh, God.
Is she?
Turn his mic off. She didn't, turn it off now.
No, but she didn't send a photo with the sign?
No, it's not Save the Children.
Did you send her a bag of rice or money? Seriously.
You know, Robin's not Art Bell. He doesn't just go to third world countries and just marry someone randomly.
Wait, you can do that? Wait, hold on. Write that down for me.
I'm writing it.
All right. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. All the music today is from ABBA.
Nice.
I just decided that we needed to do that. They've released yet another ABBA Greatest Hits album.
You probably didn't notice. I just want to interrupt for 1 second.
Used to be in ABBA.
Yeah. No. ABBA is, many people don't know this, but ABBA is the band for dyslexics. Did you know that?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to play tunes from ABBA, take a break.
ABBA? No, nothing? Nothing.
Yeah. What did you do without us? I know what we did without you, but what did you do without us?
I ate a lot of crap and I slept.
I mean, how does your wife deal with you when you go? Because clearly on Wednesday, every week,
happens.
You feel
this is what
like
happens. She's in the kitchen working because that's where she needs to be, right? So she's in the kitchen working.
Needs to be.
What? Huh? And then I'm in the living room watching TV, and this is what I say. I go, honey, did you know ABBA is a band for dyslexics?
All right.
That's exactly what happens. Nothing.
Yep.
God bless you.
She's a good woman.
All right. Quick break.
She's like, don't open with that one.
Yeah. Would you take out the garbage while I call the locksmith? All right. We're taking our first break. We're back on the other side. Stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
If you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance
on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
I'm still
feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're, I don't know, like 23 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Can you hear me?
You know, it's funny, you got lower. I got lower, too.
I can't hear me.
The music's nice and loud. But the...
Hello, hello.
Check, check, check.
Did I screw something up here?
I don't hear anyone or me.
Do you hear, anything?
I hear you better now.
I hear music.
Yeah,
but do you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear either of you.
You can't either of us?
No.
Ooh. Okay, I was just playing with this.
Can you? If you can't hear me,
better?
Can you feel me? Tommy, can you hear me?
Isn't this how the Challenger disaster started? I was playing with this.
It doesn't fucking work that way. I can't keep messing with everybody's thing.
I'm just saying, the headset's fucking loud.
You told me to turn it up. Is it too loud?
Yeah.
Was it better or not?
Okay, it's off now. Stop right there. Stop right there. It didn't feel right. It went away, the feeling, but
I'm gonna
the feeling
kill
came
you.
Back. What? Because I...
Because I'm OJ, that's why.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, he's not going to kill you.
Can you hear
but
me or not?
I can hear you just fine.
All right. We should take another break.
No. There's no breaks in this.
I was going to tell you about ABBA. It's www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com is the email address. And we're over at MySpace at myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. I'm all fucked up here. Should we just...
What's... No. Don't start all over again.
What's this is good audio.
What's
this is good radio.
The phone number to call in?
It's area code 206...
666-65... I don't remember the rest. I just remember 666. Because I feel it's like the devil.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a simple man.
Very simple. I'm not as complex as John DeCoven.
I don't think you're as complex as a paramecium, actually.
Or a glass of milk, really. Just very simple.
It's area code 206.
666-6540. 6540.
We don't get any calls for you, though.
Well, it's not necessarily for me.
Well, it was the Ask Parviz hotline.
Yeah, but maybe the 666 is scaring them away.
Yeah, that's what it is. nothing to do with your answers.
Nope. Nope.
All right.
So what were you going to say about ABBA?
They
suck?
ABBA. No, we'll get to ABBA in the next segment here. You can't... Just fuck you.
Just don't call me a...
Hey.
What?
That's not an appropriate way to use it.
How are we supposed to use it?
You're not allowed to say the word. That's the only way that you can use it.
That means I'm constantly using the word. I'm screwed.
The bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in. Jason, how are you, my friend?
You hung up on Jason.
I think this is a scathing critique of our program thus far.
It's that damn on the air sign. It makes us all nervous.
All right,
turn
here's
on
what
the
we're
air
gonna,
off the air.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to talk about this listing that we have over here, right? So carry on the show, and I'll get Jason back on the line.
What we have been passed are phrases...
phrases to use at the dinner table. Phrases, right? For example...
Dude, don't fuck him up.
He needs
help with this here. Right? don't stick a
fucking.
He's a lot smarter than I am.
Don't stick a stick in the spokes. Help the stick.
Hey, I'm putting a playing card in the spokes. That's what I'm doing.
What we have here, what I was handed, I'm just going to begin all over again.
Okay.
What I was handed was basically a list of popular TV show catchphrases. And we have
TV catchphrases.
Actually, it's television and pop culture of that particular
television
time.
And pop culture.
Some of them are commercials.
Virtual
presidents.
Rerun for popular TV shows.
Hold on.
Yeah. So basically, I don't know. They say popular TV shows, but then I hear, ask not what your country can do for you. That
was
a terrible
good television show.
It was canceled after 3 seasons.
He was so stiff. He was so stiff at that one episode.
It was
after Dallas.
I back and to the left.
So this is from TV land. Did anybody bother to mention that?
No.
Okay.
Do they need to be mentioned?
It's not actually on here, so I didn't know.
Actually, it says next to AP. TV.
There it is.
You want to read
it
out loud?
Yeah.
TV land's list of 100 greatest catchphrases in TV history.
In alphabetical order.
Okay. There you go. Let's see if I can do this without screwing up. Mommy, are you there?
Oh, gosh.
Hello?
Hello?
He doesn't answer to mommy.
No, I don't. Not usually.
Yeah, okay. I've heard otherwise, but there you go.
The N-word, I answer to that.
Now, I've explained to Parviz that it's not permissible to say it, right? The only permissible...
You had to explain that to him?
The only permissible time is...
Mama?
Yes, the only permissible context is in the phrase, you're not allowed to say the word... Okay, that's the only time that it's permissible to say it. All right? Otherwise, you wouldn't know what you weren't allowed to say.
Right.
It becomes a palindrome. No, that's not And he died last week or 2 weeks ago, and that was very sad. The one-arm push-ups and...
Right. Jack Palindrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that Russian spy shot up with palindrome? Palindrome 208?
Palindrome 208? That was a Ray Bradbury.
that was an ABBA song, I think.
It was polonium. All right. It was. Was it polonium?
Yes, it was polonium.
It was a Shakespearean character of. Oh, you doth wound me radioactively. Hey, Shakespeare. Dude, how are you?
Good, how are you?
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. I had some nice field roast, fake turkey from Whole Foods. It was great.
Wonderful.
Nice plug.
For what? For field roast?
Yeah, they're paying me. I'm a sponsor for field roast now.
Yeah, for field roast. So, when we left you last week, we were talking about Michael Richards and Kramer and the whole N-word thing. I'm now actually feeling self-conscious about saying the word.
Obviously.
Well, no, because I'm not calling anyone the word. I'm using it in a descriptive context. But this week, was it Paul? Who is the black comedian? I mean,
Paul Mooney. Yeah.
Paul Mooney, who basically made a good part of his living in the '80s saying the word, and now he's like, well, I've seen the error of my ways, and it's not appropriate to say this anymore. There's a whole backlash against this. Now, I guess one of the questions I have is, are there any words that we should decide completely we never, ever speak again? Ever?
Well, I mean, it's not a word for us to decide to use, I guess. You know, it's a word for black people to decide who can use it and who can't use it.
All right, so you pick a word that you feel that you can decide that nobody else can use anymore.
Polonium, I guess.
Okay. Is Parviz writing material this week?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. You guys get together. I mean, you know, do you feel that way about kike? Should no one ever...
There's never been a word, I mean, for white people or Jews, I guess...
Jew bastard?
That has offended me. No, I hear that and I laugh. First of all, nobody's ever said kike to me. And if anybody did, I would laugh at them.
Okay.
I mean, or cracker, or honky. I mean, it doesn't carry the same weight. The only other
word... So what
you're
saying is that basically blacks are pussies because they can't deal with this word.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
Exactly
I just want to have it on the
record.
That's
all.
Okay.
Yeah, put that out there into the community down there.
I'm just trying to understand what your point is here.
Well, the only other word that anybody ever, like, kind of gasps when you say the equivalent of the N-word is... I mean, that's the only other word these days that people...
Well, women, not people.
Well, no, I think men, too.
Just so you know where we're coming from.
Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
No, I mean, people gasp at that. That's, I mean, unless you're really good friends with somebody, that's something you shouldn't say.
Hey, want to go to the boardwalk?
Are you, let me just tell you, there's no woman that wants to hear that word.
No, really?
Not a one. There's no cute way to say it.
Come on, we're friends.
Oh, she's such a cute little...
I mean, yeah, that doesn't work.
No.
So do you think that these are words that should never, ever be spoken by anyone ever again? Do they get banished from the dictionary completely?
Well, I mean, that's also a silly thing to do as well. You can't banish any words.
We'll call it the C word.
Yeah.
And we'll call it the N word.
Yeah, and people do. And it is a little silly and it is a little childish to give these words, A, that power, and to give them euphemisms. But, I mean, we live in a society where we try not to offend people. And, you know, if certain words are offensive,
you don't agree with that.
Not at all.
No.
There was an incident a few years ago that we probably all remember because I believe it became a national story. An assistant, was it the assistant mayor or something in Philadelphia who used the word niggardly in a speech?
Yeah.
And, of course, niggardly has nothing whatsoever to do with... It basically means you're tight. It means you're you're stingy.
Yep. You're a Jew.
Or a kike.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That's what I got out of it.
You won't say that, though, will you? You won't say kike.
Well, did he say dyke or kike?
You know, I just want you to know that because of your Jewish sensibilities, Jason, I no longer call a crisp 20 Jew bait. I no longer... I have cut that out.
I appreciate that.
Because I know that stings. But there
now
was calls
a case. It Hamilton the. And that's okay.
Does that guy look like a hair club reject? Or, well, that's just terrible. But anyways, we had a case there where the black community became so outraged that even after the word was, people looked the damn thing up, and they realized that he wasn't making any sort of racial disparagement, he still had to resign because of the pressure, because was in the word. It was actually just a phonetic part of the word. So... I mean, would it have been okay if you would have said N-word-ly? I mean, there reaches a certain point of preposterousness where, you know, the taint of nigger is.
Well, there's a word for me. I don't like the word taint. I have a lot of trouble. I'd like to call that the T-word or the other T-word.
Okay, so the bonch of the word.
I don't like moist or panty, and particularly when they're together. I don't know what to do about that. But in any case, I mean, I think that there is a certain... This is almost pathological. It strikes me as pathologically bizarre that there is a certain phonetic grouping that is so horrifying that even if it is used as part of another word, the person has to fall on his sword. I mean, I think that we take this far, far, far too seriously.
I mean, in that case, I think that's definitely the extreme and definitely a stupid case of, you know, people overreacting to some sounds. But take the word or the word gay, which has been used, commonly by us now for a long time.
20 years.
And people, gay people, they have a problem with that. They blanch when people say it, but people say it far too often, and it doesn't seem to carry the same weight as the N-word or, you know, other words. And so who gets to decide what words offend certain groups? I think the people in those groups, you know, they're the final arbiters. They're the ones that get...
should decide whether they think we can use... I mean...
You'd leave that to the...
Exactly. I kicked their ass.
Too hard,
I kicked
man.
The ass of
you
some little fag.
You laugh way too hard.
Why? Because it's funny.
You were sure I was going to say something, I think. And no,
I was going to. You know, when people use the word "gay," you know, it doesn't have a derogatory meaning. You know, but when people use the N word,
right?
It is derogatory.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, say this for me. Say your penis. Say just say
just right.
N-word P word.
Oh, yes. You know, I want to say those two Afro-Americans, those two black guys that were in the audience that heckled Michael Richards. They were on the Today Show last week. I must say, I saw that whole interview. I thought those two guys were very articulate. And I thought they were very mature about the whole
situation.
But
what do you think about the fact that they want money from this? Is that really suitable? Jason, you wanted to talk about that.
Well, and this is where Gloria Allred steps in. And, you know, she's famous for jumping on what are seen as these civil rights cases and trying to use them for her own fame.
C-word?
Yeah, basically. C-word, B-word, K-word.
We'll just grade her as a C.
Okay.
The fact that they could get money at all for this, which they can't, and there's no legal precedent that says that they can, but that's the biggest stifling of free speech, because basically what happened was, you know, Kramer and these guys were on the schoolyard, and he called them names. And while that may have hurt them, to get monetary damages out of it, that would just, I mean, they were at a comedy club. You're allowed to speak and say pretty much whatever you want. You paid to get in there. So the fact that somebody could sue somebody for money for calling them names, that just goes against the First Amendment. I mean, and what's next? That you're going to be able to sue somebody for, you know, for breaking up with you? Because Gloria Allred said that this is intentional infliction of emotional distress. And so,
well, she would say that.
She's a C word.
No, she's an attorney, actually. It's going for the other one, but okay.
Okay. It's chilling because it's cause of free speech, I think.
And when do you think this story finally dies? Because he keeps showing up more and more places. I mean, rather than just fade away like Mel Gibson, right? He keeps showing up on the news, and he was on the Jesse Jackson radio program the other day. I mean, this is more publicity than his career's had in years.
I think we're at the end of the cycle of this story. I don't think he's going to show up publicly anymore. And if he knows it's good for him, he shouldn't, because he's keeping it in the news cycle. Gloria Allred's going to try to keep it in the news cycle for a little while longer, but I think...
You guys run any stories about it today on your station?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What possible news could there be today?
Well, I mean, actually...
Michael Richards still called somebody in... or 2 weeks ago.
I don't know about today, but yesterday there was a story, you know, talking about Gloria Allred and the damages and stuff. And that's news. When she comes out and says something and there's talk of a lawsuit and stuff, that is news. But there's no more news to this story unless Michael Richards, you know, goes to another comedy club and calls somebody else a name. But, I mean, stories are coming out about how he did this to Jews. And he went on anti-Semitic rants, and he also went on anti-Mexican rants.
And Jews love money. You would think that they would have sued a lot faster than the black people would.
Oh, we're getting a taste. We're the ones really behind all of it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We get a piece of the action?
Yeah, you'll get your check, your end-of-the-year Jew check.
You know, I changed my name. Make sure, would you please call them at the central office and let them know?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, thanks. All right, so let's see. Tell you what we're going to do. We'll take another little break at this point, I think, because I need to take a break. I just need to take a little break here at this point. You can hang around, can't you?
Yes.
All right, we're playing songs from ABBA. I was going to give you some fun facts about ABBA.
Is this in honor of the museum?
What museum?
There's a new ABBA museum opening.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
How would you know that?
Because we did a story
what
on
kind
it.
Of... Where the heck are you?
Story on it yesterday.
Where is there an ABBA museum?
In Europe.
Okay. And I had no
idea. I'll get the details for you during the break.
You will?
Yeah.
This, my friends, this is a big deal. Well, ABBA has just... There's a new album of ABBA number ones. And so we've got it. And hey, do you have a favorite ABBA song there, Jason?
No, because I'm not a fan.
Whoa!
Well, I'm offended by that.
Wow.
I'm offended by that.
Are you going to sue me?
I might.
Okay.
I might.
You're not going to get much.
I got a C lawyer. I don't know what that means.
Cunt lawyer.
Oh,
thanks,
Barbies. Would you please stop that? You're making her uncomfortable.
You can seek legal redress. Just go see a shrink.
Just do me a favor, Sherry. Say the word penis right now. Just do that for me.
No.
Jewish, homosexual, transvestite.
Hey, just don't call me Persian. Or Iranian.
You don't even
what
know.
What can we call you?
I don't even know.
Barry, we can't call him Barry.
He wants a little Jew bait.
Barry makes him upset. Yeah, especially you. You go completely fucking ballistic when anybody mispronounces, like, even one syllable of your name.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
that's totally wrong.
But, okay.
Now I need a break.
We all need a break. Does anybody have an ABBA song that they'd like me to play?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Fernando.
All right, we'll play Fernando.
Thank you.
For Sean... P-word mean. Know what the hell that means. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll play a little ABBA. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sean, me, and Sherry Stevens, Parviz Fatali, and on the phone with us, Jason Nathanson. We are all collectively and individually inviting you to please stick around.
For more Schnauzer Logic.
Shining there for you and me, for liberty, Fernando.
even flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 48 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a substance of humor and a master's degree in city planning. So you were reading some of these from this list of TV Land's top 100 greatest catchphrases in TV history in alphabetical order. And I agree with you. We were looking at them during the break that a lot of these suck.
Yeah.
And some that you would expect to be there, like from the Honeymooners, like Bang Zoom or To the Moon Alice. Things that really have some staying power are not on here. And yet you see Denny Crane from Boston Legal, which is fairly lame. What's your favorite on here that you found so far?
Oh, well, the one I use most frequently, I think, is Fred Sanford's. Elizabeth, baby, I'm coming. I'm coming.
I come up in the conversation
a lot in my marriage.
And your wife's name is?
Not Elizabeth.
G. Mrs. Cleaver from Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver. That I remember. Good night, John Boy. That certainly entered the vocabulary. Yeah.
But TV Land is supposed to be old TV shows, correct? Isn't Boston Legal a newer show?
It's on now.
It's current.
Yeah, so it's TV Land, that station is, they normally play old TV shows.
Yeah, Book'em Dano, right? That's sort of classic TV.
Sure.
And that's the way it is, Walter Cronkite, right? Once again, classic kind of TV. No Soup for You. Okay, from Seinfeld. I understand. No Soup for You, you C-word, N-word. Anti-Semite bastard, you. Let's say, Son of Eastern, welcome back to Jason Nathanson.
Is Joey Lawrence's Whoa on there?
Joey,
that's my favorite.
Joey Lawrence?
From Blossom.
Oh, I don't...
Well, once again, what you just keep missing.
What you talking about, Willis?
That's not on there.
It is on there.
What you talking about, Willis? Is
yeah.
Is on there?
Okay.
Where's Whoa?
Oh, it is.
Oh, what you talking about, Willis?
Oh, I'm talking about Joey Lawrence. I'm talking about Joey Lawrence.
What you talking? Okay.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's not on there either.
Jason, you wanna get me out of this and into something else?
Yeah. Let's talk about...
Chicks, man.
We've hit the midway point now on the fall TV series.
Season,
yes. And most of the shows are taking hiatus now, and we're going to get stuck with reruns. But two of the shows that have really stood out, I think, for me, two new shows that have garnered a lot of critical acclaim and a lot of viewers, one being Heroes, keeps being a juggernaut for NBC.
Save the cheerleader.
That's the worst. Is that on the list yet? That's the worst catchphrase. I mean, I laugh every time I hear it. But the little cheerleader girl is hot. The other one is Jericho on CBS. And that's definitely it's a must watch every week.
Do they have a catchphrase?
Holy shit, the world's blowing up.
Yeah, pretty much. No, there's no catchphrase.
I don't know anything about Jericho. What is Jericho?
Jericho is about a small town in Iowa, and the world has blown up around them. There's been nuclear war, and they're not sure exactly what happened because they're cut off from the world.
Okay.
And it's about how, you know, a small town would react in a situation such as that. And pandemonium kind of breaks out, and people start fighting and stuff. And it's one of those, you know, a little information is revealed each week that keeps you watching to the next week because you want to find out what happened.
Have you seen this?
Robin, how much television do I really
I don't know,
watch?
But I mean, have you even heard of this?
No.
Have you heard of this?
No.
What have you, I know, you.
We're getting the word out here. The story's breaking first here.
Where the hell is Jericho? What channel is this on?
Channel 5.
Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah.
This is old people's television.
Yeah, pretty much.
Holy cow.
But people are watching it. And
who's in it? Who's in it that I would have heard of?
Skeet Ulrich.
Remember? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's the biggest name. One of them was... who the fuck is he? He played somebody's husband on, like, Designing Women.
Oh, yeah,
like
sure.
And you'd know his name if you heard it, but
of course I
don't
I
know
would.
His name.
Yeah, okay.
They had many promos for that. They just see, like, a mushroom cloud of people losing their minds.
Wouldn't you think that if you wouldn't it just be basically boinking left and right? Wasn't I mean after the sort of the you calm down and you realize you weren't dead? Wouldn't people just be basically fucking all the time?
And you would hope so. You would hope that's what the show would be
I
about.
I mean, that would be the show. Every week for an hour, you'd see people fucking.
Or wasn't that basically Neville Shoots on the beach? I mean, basically, you go to Australia, you fuck, you race your little race car, and then you die.
I think that's a perfect place to try out the N-word.
I have no idea what
really,
he's talking about.
It was a novel and a movie. They made movies out of it.
Silent Running?
On the beach.
No. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad I'm the only person who doesn't know what Sean's talking about all the time.
No, no idea.
Sean's very smart.
Yes, very smart.
And apparently not smart enough to realize that I'm the only person
no, you've
never heard of Neville Shoots.
You are the novel. Dennis Miller of this group.
Exactly what I was going to say.
And you were Mr. Wilson? Oh, no. That's Dennis the Menace. I'm sorry. Again, that he thinks is funny. Confusing Dennis Miller and Dennis the Menace, that's comedy fucking gold for Parviz.
That's good stuff. That's why I show up every week.
All right, so those two shows are getting a fair amount of following at this point.
Yeah, they've survived the season so far to good ratings.
What's on the block?
On the chopping block?
Be literal, please.
I don't know. No, on the 4700 block off of Olympus. Of course God damn, am I alone here today? What the hell is going on? Yes, on the chopping block.
I mean, 30 Rock is still not set yet.
Really? That's still fighting for life? It's still got breath in its lungs?
Well, now with Tracy Morgan arrested, that show's going in the tank.
That's right. That was today's big story. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Well, it's probably going to do good for the show. I mean, publicity like that can only help. And he plays a character on the show that would get arrested. You know, that's his character.
What are the charges? I mean, is this something that the show will have to go on hiatus for? Or
he
is
said
it
the
just
N-word
some...
at a club to a bunch of white people.
Hold on.
Don't open with
Jason. I got a sound effect for that.
Oh, that's shit. Shit.
Hey, Parviz.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
All right.
That is so cute.
Seriously, was it a drug bust or did
he do alcohol? DUI.
Yeah,
DUI.
Over, was
second or third, right? I mean, he's had these before.
He's a mess.
So are you running this on your station?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you're running stories about the N-word, and you're running stories about Tracy Morgan. You're running any stories about the Russian spy who was killed with polonium?
Yeah, we were a bunch of stories about that.
And the latest is, just before we went on the air here today, that they've now found traces of polonium on the British airline planes that went back and forth from Moscow to the UK.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
Okay.
What, did they just, like, take the stuff around in baggies? You know,
I don't know.
How do you find? I mean, I'm assuming the amount of polonium necessary to kill a guy is pretty small.
I would think so.
You put it in a water balloon and shove it up your ass.
How?
seriously. And then when you want to use it, no.
Seriously, that got me.
So basically, somebody's like a radioactive mule.
Have I ever shoved up a balloon on my butt to hide from? Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
I think in this form, it was aerosolized or, you know, sprayed on food, that is what they're saying.
You just pull it out.
In my vagina.
It just seems like they were
this
using
the
it
blue
like
show,
Glade.
Right?
You know, they were using it like Glade all over. Fresh scent polonium. Just, you know, all over London. They're spraying this shit.
They put it in the cologne. Maybe that's what they did.
Yeah.
And that's why the French are not. No.
What? So, but this is weird. This seems like such a non-Western thing to do. Has anybody picked up on that? I mean, well, this is like poison-tipped umbrellas. This is very weird stuff. I mean,
I'm definitely surprised at the amount of attention this story has gotten. It's not something. I mean, it's definitely a story of intrigue, but not something that our media typically would focus on because it you know, happened to other people in other parts of the world.
Well, does it feel like an episode of 24? Maybe.
Kinda, yeah.
And maybe that's why.
That's the cool factor about it. I mean, this thing actually happened in real life.
You're rolling your eyes, though. Sherry's rolling her eyes. Why are you rolling your eyes?
It's the cool factor? I don't know.
I think there are people who agree with you, though, which is it's not cool. Somebody's dead.
Well, Well, yeah, absolutely. But
stop laughing. But it's not funny.
You know, it's got spy novel written all over it, especially with James Bond being out right now. You know,
that's true.
There's a tie-in.
Oh, he was a wimp.
Did you see who was a wimp?
James Bond.
No, he wasn't. We saw that movie. Have you seen the new James Bond film?
I haven't. No.
All right.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was good. Cool. It was good. He's a very different kind of Bond. Mm-hmm. You know, they move some. I mean, Sean Connery's sort of, what a tough act to follow, right? Because he set the standard of being suave and sophisticated and just a little bit wry in that period of the Cold War when I think America needed, and then ultimately the rest of the world needed, that kind of hero, because he was a hero. This James Bond is not a hero.
Well, go back. When was the last time you watched a Sean Connery Bond? I suggest that you rent Thunderball and watch it. He's a sociopath and a rapist.
But of the good kind.
Yeah, right, right. He's working for us, in other words.
That has a really good soundtrack, too.
And it's just, it's really bizarre when you go back and look at some of the Sean Connery stuff.
Really?
You really see, there's Spike or something runs these films perpetually.
Yeah.
And they have festivals, and you can really see a change in tone of Bond as he moved from the Sean Connery years to the Roger Moore years. And it's not just the actor. There is a scene in Thunderball where Sean Connery has sex with a woman, or clearly this is what is intended, you know, it sort of happens off screen, who doesn't want to have sex with him. He rapes this woman.
That's hot. What was the name of it? Oh,
well, did you see the Barbara Walters special, and she interviews Sean Connery, and he talks to her about how it's okay to slap a woman with an open hand?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
I used to like him, and now I'm thinking, Matt, wow, he's...
Well, do you think it's just a different time?
Well, I don't know. You know, 30 years ago, if my dad smacked around my mom, I think I'd be still pretty upset, you know?
What he said that was very controversial, but taken somewhat out of context, is that there are worse things you can do to a woman. And I don't know what the general sense of what he meant exactly was. But I do think there have been worse things done to me than physical harm.
Sure.
You know, there are more devastating things that I think you can do to the human psyche than inflict physical harm. Now, I think it was unclear whether that was an authorization to inflict physical harm.
Kind
or whether
of a double O face slap kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah, you know, that's just a single O. For a face slap, you don't need the full double O licensing.
I see.
MI6 will pretty much let, you know, like office workers and...
I thought the movie was okay. It was long.
It was long. It was good. It was action-packed. The beginning
was
amazing.
Yeah.
As every James Bond movie is.
Well, but now what's happened is all of these films now have wire fu, right? I mean, that's what they call it, I think, right? Which sort of this martial arts where they have to use wires, so that has this incredible, fantastical kind of quality to it. And all of these films have this now in the beginning, so that is what our expectation is for action scenes.
Hate it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I really don't enjoy it. I mean, in the limited context of something like The Matrix, I enjoy it. But the universe has to be suitable for this kind of thing.
Right.
I don't enjoy it the same way I don't enjoy preposterous chases that where cars are clearly going off ramps and things that wouldn't exist on the freeways or roadways. I don't like it.
Gotcha. All right, Jason, so what should we be looking for in the coming week, my friend?
Well, TBS is doing a bunch of new shows. They're actually producing their own comedy shows, and TBS is the home of reruns of Seinfeld, and Everybody Loves Raymond, and they pride themselves on comedy. So they tried to get into the game themselves. And one of them that I did see on Monday was called 10 Items or Less, and it's done in this kind of Arrested Development, The Office, style, and it's actually pretty funny.
It's a supermarket, yes?
Yeah, it's about a guy whose father dies and he goes back to run the supermarket.
It's Parviz Fatali's story.
Exactly. In some small town, all the shenanigans and goings on in the back rooms of the supermarket.
We know about shenanigans in the back room. The milk container,
in
right?
The milk box. In that's the milk where all box. The shenanigans happen.
Shenanigans.
Because you can drop milk on the floor and nobody will know the difference.
That's where I nailed his ass. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did I ever tell you this story? This just brought up a quick little story. At a local Safeway here, a little girl opened the glass door, you know, to grab the milk, and she saw a man, a worker in there masturbating.
Yes, and actually, you did an episode. Episode 7.
I'm just rehashing all my old
episode
stories.
Episode 7. But I'm glad you mentioned that because, by the way, if you go to the website, www.schnauzerlogic.com, and click on the little Shoutcast button, or if you go to Shoutcast and look for the word Schnauzer, or you go to our website, you can now listen to all the Schnauzer Logics. They're streaming as an archive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, over and over again. So for people who are in countries that don't have broadband, there are these little nice, little low bandwidth, continuous archive stream of Schnauzer Logic.
That's great for a long train ride.
What? And there's pictures of Britney Spears' vagina on the website too, right?
Okay.
Sorry, we got to go back on autopilot.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. Well, there you go. How's the new job, my friend?
The new job is going great.
Yeah?
It inspired me to put on my reporter hat now and then.
Now you've added another one.
Jason.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Jason.
I hate you so much.
Have you met a girl yet?
No, I have not met a girl yet.
That's your new job, nothing, huh?
Nah.
Any prospects?
They're mostly old.
They're still good.
News radio draws old people.
Wow. They can still be hot.
Wow. It felt different when he wasn't here last week, didn't it? It felt
so
more,
I have to ask, what's old?
More chick friendly.
He's like 27.
Yeah. It felt yeah, this doesn't feel like a safe space anymore.
Is this a no-fly zone? Is this what we're talking about?
I'm a little uncomfortable.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
Is it because I'm Persian?
Not even close.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, what is old?
To me, I mean, in a dating sense.
Right. Who? You're 29 or are you 30 now?
I'm 29.
You're 29. 29.
So, you know, people in their 40s. Oof. In a dating sense, are old to me. I mean, not that you're old in a general way, like you're going to die.
What's young to you in the dating sense?
What's the age of consent?
13?
18.
18. So you would date an 18-year-old?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, I'll take her back to my place.
It's such a double standard.
It is.
Because a 40-year-old guy dating a 29-year-old woman, nobody would think twice about that.
Sure.
They'd think right on.
Exactly.
Yeah. There would be a sense of accomplishment.
You are gross, dude.
What do you mean gross? I didn't ask you to smell me.
I mean, a dozen.
I don't have a problem with it. You know, it's not gross in that way. It's just not for me. And if I met a 40-year-old woman who was great, you know, that then, you know, all the better.
But you've already dismissed that. You've said, well, you know, there's just a bunch of old bitches in the newsroom.
Now, are you talking about sexual encounters or are you talking about actual relationships? Because I think that a lot of times it is important to have someone who's more of a peer in a relationship.
Right.
Or you can sort of take on a parental role, or you can take on, you know, the role of the child.
Or you can dress up. Sorry.
I shouldn't say much at this point. I'm open to anything.
But Jason, if you date a 40-year-old, you're always guaranteed a parking spot in the handicap zone.
Wow.
But at the same time, if you date an 18-year-old, you always have to have a child seat ready.
See, that's why.
You do. And you can only be 40 pounds or less, I believe, in a child seat, right?
So only an anorexic
18-year-old. Right, right. Yeah. It's difficult. It's a difficult paradox. Is that what it's called? Paradox. Paradox. This is my best George Bush. Paradox. No, it's not. Is that George?
You know what I have? You know what I have for you off
the list? I don't even know if it's Billy Bush. Andy?
Yeah, you know what I have?
That was 101. That was 101. I went on the website. It was number 101. It was so friggin' close.
Yeah. There's a no.
Well, there's another
though.
One from Barney in here.
Yeah, Fife. Barney Fife.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, Barney Fife.
No, but I saw
deputy.
Yeah,
Barney Fife.
No, I saw that. It was very funny.
Have you seen this list, Jason?
It's in.
No, I haven't.
It's off of the AP. It's a TV Land's top 100 catchphrases of all time.
See, and we're at the point of the year where lists are going to start coming out, and I mean that's not an end of the year list, but we're about to get
and
list
that
happy.
makes this kind of show much easier to do.
There it is.
Very little prep.
Nip it.
Now I don't remember Barney Fife ever saying this. Is that how he cut people off?
Nip it.
You know, it'd be like, nip it!
Okay, I'm pretty sure there's no line ever where he did that. Yeah, ever. Well, no.
He stuck his hand out like he's saying Sona Vista. Nip it! And watch this. Sona Vista. Same thing. Sona Vista, my friend. Like, Sona Vista.
I'd like to hear some ABBA. Is that available?
Actually, me too.
Yeah.
I've now become a fan.
We got some dancing queen.
We're gonna say goodbye to Jason Nathans and thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. You're over at randomshow.blogspot.com.
Absolutely, and I'll be in Stockholm in 2008 for the opening of the ABBA Museum.
Oh yeah, did you get the information about that?
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
You got any more?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, so surprisingly, it's being built in Sweden.
Yeah.
You know what? You know why I hate ABBA? There actually is a reason. Because Art Bell uses it as his bumper music. And when I used to have to run the Art Bell show overnights in Santa Cruz, I used to listen to that incessantly. And it brings back bad memories for me.
But that doesn't explain why you hate Lindsay Lohan as well.
She's hot. She's straight up hot. Lindsay Lohan is so freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
She's like slutty beautiful. Just like... You know, look at these, kind of beautiful.
And there's pictures of her vagina on the internet as well.
What?
Can you name the members of ABBA?
No.
There are two Bjorns, are there not?
There's actually only one Bjorn.
Only one Bjorn.
There's a Benny.
Okay.
We'll start with the easy one. There's a Benny Andersson with two S's. There's a Bjorn Ulvaeus.
And then there was the blonde girl who kind of went on to a career. I can't quite remember her name. She had a couple of singles after ABBA.
Madonna.
Agnetha Fältskog?
No.
Well, I'm screwing up the small Swedish audience that we have. And they listen every week, too.
We
I'm
love
so
you.
Sorry. We do love you. And then there was an Annie Fried, also known as Frida Lyngstad.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Frida.
And yeah. she was. Weren't these guys married to each other, or am I thinking of...
Heart.
Food Mac.
Yeah, no. Either way. Yeah, I think they were. They were married. All of them in some configuration.
ABBA's success subsequently opened the doors for many other European acts. Their lasting legacy is the legitimization of the Swedish music industry as a mainstream player. Sweden is considered by many as the third greatest exporter of music in the world, following the U.S. and the U.K. And in November 2006, plans for an ABBA Museum in Stockholm were announced. How do you like that? Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Have a good KSCO tomorrow morning?
KSCO, I think so. I don't know. I'll get a call at 6:45 in the morning or I won't.
All right. What have you been talking about with Rosemary?
I think we talked iPods before the last break here.
You know, the KSCO holiday party is this Friday.
Oh, really?
I got an invite.
Really?
Yeah. I may go just because Kay doesn't know who I am. She saw me at the big last party that they had. She's like, excuse me, young lady, can I help you? Not me. All right, my friend, take care of yourself. Have a great week, all right?
Thanks, you too.
Talk next week. Bye-bye.
Take it easy, Jason.
Are you going to be good?
I've been nothing but good.
But when he's bad, he's better.
Wow. It's so scary. Isn't it scary?
Isn't that creepy that there's a moment
anybody
in my day when I'm like, rawr, rawr.
There. I don't even want to go there.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
But he says things. I know that they're words. They don't make any sense. And then we laugh.
It's nervous laughter.
It is nervous laughter.
It's nervous laughter.
It's the power of the comedic Persian. We're frightened and entranced and amused. Oh, it's an alloy of uncomfort and discomfort. I don't know.
It's in the delivery.
It is in the delivery. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to play a little ABBA. You asked for Dancing Queen?
I think that's the only other song I know.
Didn't you already play that?
The Winner Takes It All. I know that song.
Oh, I did play. I started with Dancing Queen, didn't I?
Yes.
Winner Takes It All.
Thank God, one of us
have that?
Still has some brain cells.
I have Waterloo.
Amazing, but true.
Waterloo? Waterloo. Oh, Waterloo.
Do I?
Let's go with Waterloo.
Ring Ring. Should we play a little Waterloo?
Waterloo.
We'll play a little Waterloo. We'll come back with a little road story.
Oh, yeah! Woo-hoo! I'm Brian Cox.
And then when we come back, one of us look to your left. look to your left, look to your right. One of us won't be here. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
Hey, Brian Cox with you with Road Stories from the Real Highway Comics. It was a dark and stormy night. No, but it was scary anyway. I was on the road with two other comics. We were doing a string of 8 shows together. The van we were traveling in had seen better days. In the back of the van, you could watch the highway through the rusted out floorboards. The guys got hungry. We passed a KFC with a big sign saying, "We feature an all-you-can-eat buffet, $7.95. Well, we stopped. I had 4 pieces of chicken and salads, and I was full. The other guys went a little crazy. 86 pieces of chicken between them later. No salads, nothing but chicken. Needless to say, we were asked to leave after they told us they ran out of chicken. In about an hour, I had to drive because there was 2 moaning sick little puppies with sharp stomach pains in the back of the van watching the highway. Well, we got to the gig. We went up to our rooms. Well, I didn't. I hung out for a while. Those 2 guys went up to their rooms right away. And we were staying in a hotel that was built in about 1918. It was renovated and was very nice. All of us did the coin toss to see who would get up first, second, and then headline the show. I got up. I was second. The show finished. It was a huge success. Then the fun began. The two other comics had come down from their chicken OD, and we were sitting, talking, and drinking with the staff and owner of the hotel. Country music was playing on the CD player. Then the owner tells us that the hotel is haunted. All of us reply in unison, "Oh, sure, right, ha ha, boo-hoo-hoo." Then he tells us the story as it was told to him. How many years ago the Harlem Globetrotters had come to town. One of the local girls named Florence hooked up with one of the players. While they were in the room, her husband kicked down the door and blew her head off with a shotgun. He tells us that weird crap had been happening around the hotel for years, like music, for instance. She hated heavy rock and roll. So one of the guys decided, all right, he went out to the van, he pulled out an AC/DC CD, brought it in, put it on their CD player, which up until now had been working perfectly, playing country music. When the AC/DC hit it, well, it started to skip like crazy. So we thought, well, let's try that country CD again. Perfect. It was getting pretty late. With a few drinks under our belt, the owner asked us, "Hey, you want to see the room where Florence was murdered?" We said, "Hell yeah!" The room had cheap wood paneling on the walls and was very cold compared to the rest of the hallway and the other rooms. The owner called out, "Florence!" We sat very still and quiet and waited. He called again, "Florence! Florence!" Then a small tapping could be heard from the bathroom every time we would ask a question. A small tapping and more tapping. We whittled our questions down to yes or no questions, with one tap meaning yes and two meaning no. After about an hour of answering questions, no more tapping. We figured that she had got bored with us. So it was off to bed. I entered my room, turned on the bedside lamp, and flipped on the TV, laid down to assimilate everything that I had just been through. Then the shadows on the ceiling started to move a little. I looked over at the bedside lamp, and the shade was moving from side to side. Not violently, but slow, then fast, then slow again. I thought, there must be air blowing up from the floor or something, from the furnace. I checked it out. Nothing on the floor. Just as I said aloud, "Nice to have met you, Florence. I hope you enjoy your stay in my room. Please don't touch me or I'll completely freak out." The bed moved a little as if someone sat down or laid down on it. Then it hit me. She liked me. Go figure. I'm the only comic that's probably ever been hit on by a ghost. I said aloud, "I'm not your type. Please move on." Then the room was quiet for the rest of the night. I know this because I didn't sleep a wink and the lights were on. That's Road Stories. I'm Brian Cox.
Welcome back. We're about 20 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Being recorded on Wednesday, it's the 29th of November, 2006. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Saying "Son of Easter" to Sean Meehan.
Son of Easter.
Son of Easter to Sherry Stevens.
Son of Easter.
And how you doing?
Do I have a name?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right.
Hey.
Hey, up your nose with the rubber hose, huh?
Hey. How you doing?
Hey.
It was incredible catchphrase.
Holy crap.
What happened to the old sound you had of Regis doing the runaway beer truck?
That is a sound that is reserved for Critical Chip. If he ever gets his sorry ass over here, we would play that at the end of his rants.
His ass is sorry. What episode is this?
This is 37 today, I think. And he's been promising since, well, not the first episode, but he's certainly been promising since, like, 25.
Right.
And he fucks me every week.
Whoa.
This is what it's like when you fuck a white man in the ass. Dude. It's a
no sense
a Lebowski-ism.
Sir, it's Lebowski. It's the big Lebowski. It's John Goodman's character.
This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
It's funnier when he does it.
Yeah, it is.
But speaking of funny...
When the ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, and they hear the moan and whine
harmonies
of the frozen water line, then the plumber is the man who saves them all.
Free bird!
The plumber is the man, the plumber is the man.
That's me.
Down into the cellar he must crawl,
he must crawl.
He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him, but the plumber is the man who saves them all.
He's not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him. She should have changed it to, he's not sleek or slim, and they all shit on him. Right? It's plumbing? Poop? Okay. This is my plumbing. Do I get a plumbing update intro? Or
That was it.
That was it.
That was it? I don't get anything like...
Parvise's plumbing update is coming to you.
My dog is a plumber. He must be a boy. Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots. So perhaps he's a girl, which kind of makes sense, since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence. But neither can Dad, and I know he's a man. And Mom is a woman, and she drives a van. Maybe the problem is in trying to tell just what someone is by what he does well.
I'm in my vagina.
It's all so clear to me now.
Hello, Robin, Sean, and Parvis. This is Rebecca from Tranny Rec Radio.
That's the wrong one.
And now it's time for your favorite segment of the podcast.
That's what I'm talking about.
Starring Parvis Vitali.
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 I'm in my vagina.
All right, so we're running out of time here.
Oh, now we're running out of time. Oh, yeah. Oh, I was way out of line. I've been touching all those buttons all day. All right, let me get to this. This is very important. I need your support.
We love you.
All right, this is a big plumbing update. I haven't talked about... I've been in the plumbing world now for 7 months. One of the rules I was told when I took my initiation to the plumbing world was that you're not allowed to work outside of your jurisdiction. And my jurisdiction is Santa Clara County and San Benito County. I cannot work outside of that jurisdiction. If I do work out of that jurisdiction, I have to get a pass from one of their local unions saying, hey, I'm in town. May I please work in this area? About early November, around Halloween, I get asked to go to Newark, which is out of the jurisdiction, maybe 30 minutes away. And first thing out of my mouth is, all right, well, it's out of the jurisdiction, so where do I get this pass? I was told the pass was taken care of. My superintendent already called. You're clear to be out there. Everything's fine. I said, okay. So I went out there to work. I was in the truck with one of the journeymen. They drove me in the company truck and went out to work. I was there for a week and a half. And I was only there for a week and a half because when I was working one day, one of the union people from that jurisdiction came in and looked at me and said, what's your name? I said, Parvis. No. Okay. I said, Parvis Vitali. And he says... where are you from? Which, you know, he just didn't recognize me. He started asking questions, and I thought, oh, shit, this is it. So I looked at my foreman, and I pretty much, I didn't say a word. I just looked at my foreman and just said, this is, you could talk to him. So they went outside, they talked, they came back in, and they told me, all right, you're going to have to, you have to go home. I said, okay. So I went home, and the foreman went home. Him and I both went home. So we were driving back home, and I said, oh, shit, did we get in trouble? He goes, yeah, we kind of got in trouble, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's all taken care of. Everything's fine. Okay, great. We get back to home base. I talked to my superintendent. I said, hey, I thought you said we could. He goes, don't worry about it, Parvis. Everything's fine, blah, blah, blah. And then I got this letter in the mail 2 days ago, certified.
Certified?
Certified letter.
Wow.
And it says, you are hereby notified that charges filed against you by brother, whatever his name, were accepted by a majority vote of the membership of local union of the United Association at a membership meeting held on the 9th day of November. In accordance with Section 199 of the UA Constitution, these charges have been referred to the local executive board for trial. In order that you may have 10 days to prepare for a hearing, you are hereby ordered to appear before the local executive board for a hearing of these charges in the upstairs conference room on Thursday, December 7th. You should at that time bring with you any and all witnesses and any evidence that you may have in order to present your defense. You can, if you so desire, select a good standing member of the United Association to serve as your counsel at the trial under section of the decision, blah, 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 blah. It's a $1,500 fine.
Holy Toledo.
It's a $1,500 fine. I get this letter on Monday, and I immediately called my superintendent, and I said, hey, I got this letter. What's this all about? He said, I'll take care of it. I said, that's what you told me the first time. So we hang up, and then I call him the next day, and I said, hey, Frank, what's going on? He doesn't return my calls. I called him again. So the third call I gave him was, all right, it sounds to me like you're not going to help me. It sounds to me like you're not going to defend me. I said, this is kind of bullshit. I just started. You told me to go out there. I just did what I was told. And I told him, I said, I can't afford a $1,500 fine. I said, this is bullshit. I didn't know what all I told him was, you're going to have to pay for this fine. The company's going to have to pay for this fine. I can't deal with this. Then he called me back and he said, he goes, absolutely, Parviz, absolutely. We will pay for the fine when this and this. Now, the other problem is that this is on a Thursday night. I have school on a Thursday night. And I told my teacher last night, and he's like, well, you have a very important test that day. So if I don't take this test, it fucks up with the curve of my score. And if I don't pass with a certain score, I have to repeat my classes for apprenticeship. So I'm trying to get this thing changed to either Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
Well, not Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's right.
Monday or Friday. Dude, what's important?
That's true.
Okay?
That's true. I mean, this pays well. You're right.
It's pretty clear to me that in your life, careers come and careers go, but this podcast... Okay, we've been doing this podcast longer than you've been doing any particular job that I know about, so I consider this to be priority one.
You are correct. So that has been the excitement of the week in
the
plumbing world.
Well, that really sucks.
Now, the guy...
Do you want me to make some calls for you?
Like who?
I my uncle's a rabbi. I don't know. No, I mean, I'm an attorney.
This is the other thing.
You know I'm a lawyer.
I do. But the guy...
Well,
but
that you, was but, really...
But are you a member in good standing?
I don't have to be. I mean, just... No, you don't want to get to the hearing.
Right.
You want this to be dealt with before the hearing happens. You want to get somebody on the phone and say, listen, I don't know how to defend myself because I don't understand how I did something wrong here, and right. I don't want this to be aired in public because if the company messed up, they didn't do it intentionally, and so this is, you know, that you need, this all needs to be handled sotto voce, as they say.
I am going to get somebody to represent me through the union, that they'll come and represent me,
yeah,
but...
Can't you deal with this before it gets to the union?
Be me before it gets to the hearing?
Yeah.
I have to deal with it. I did call one of my union reps yesterday, and he said that, don't worry about the fine. Don't you worry about the fine. You're not going to pay a dime. I will get the company to pay for you, and we will get that. This is bullshit, and you're a six-month apprentice, and blah, blah, blah. The guy I went with in the truck, he's been in the freaking industry for 20 years. He got busted, too. This is like major, major...
So what's his fine?
I don't know what his fine is, but if I'm $1,500... Well, maybe he's... Well, I don't know. I don't know what his fine would be.
Wow.
But it's incredible.
It sucks.
Well, what I'm confused about is, you know, your supervisor said it was taken care of. Well, what was taken care of? Is he saying,
he didn't take care of anything? No, he didn't say that, but he didn't take care of anything. I think he was hoping I would go under the radar, get the work done with the journeyman, get back, and nobody would know a difference. And I don't even know what the big deal is. Just go and get the permission, and let's get the work done. But maybe there's a cost involved, or maybe they don't like him.
They got to kick up to Tony Soprano.
Well, you know, having worked in the film industry, where probably a lot of the audience knows this, unions are very powerful. Unions and guilds are extremely powerful.
Mm. Protective.
And they're incredibly protective. And at some point, they begin to behave in the interests of almost no one.
Except the union itself.
Except the union itself. Yeah. They don't really protect their members. They don't really act on behalf of the people the members work for. You don't really understand what the internal logic is that guides the decision-making processes at the guilds and unions. It's very confusing, and it's quite ugly. And I'm very sorry that, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal. Like, since Monday, I said, I cannot believe this crap's happening to me. I just did what I was told, and I was told
well,
that I was okay.
That's the thing. I mean, you're an apprentice, so you shouldn't, you know, if you ask the question.
Immediately.
And so, if somebody says to you, yes, we've taken care of the permits, is it then incumbent upon you to say, no, I actually need to see the permit?
Exactly.
But see, that's not, but that would be considered insubordinate.
Exactly. Exactly. It's
right.
Like, and who so am I to say I don't trust
and so,
you?
And so part of being an apprentice is showing that you're a member of the team, that you're not a loner, that you're somebody who will work with other people. So you understood there was a regulation. You asked the right question. You were given information from someone that you trusted. And so you took that on face value rather than challenging them and destroying the working relationship with them.
Exactly. And you know what? I have to tell the truth. And the truth is...
I'm just a little concerned because, I don't know, I heard that almost exact speech word for word from the guys who went to jail in Watergate. I just, it was, all their attorneys just said that, you know.
So I have to tell it. Well, I'm going to try. I have no problem telling the truth. And the truth is, my subordinate said it's okay.
No, but you should really see if you can get this dealt with before you get to the hearing.
And not represent myself. No, I'm not going
to No.
You should never get to
there should hearing. Be no hearing.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. Yes.
And this should all be held. This should all be handled before the meeting. People should talk to each other, and this meeting should not happen. You should push the meeting off. It should be like if they're going to find a player in the National League, and before they ever get around to that, everybody talks with everybody in the background, and then it just never happens, right? We dealt with it.
Use the Latin again. It's powerful.
Exactly. All right.
Sotto voce.
I'm coming in with a turban.
It's the only song I have, dude.
How convenient.
All right, we'll play. Take a break. Maybe come back and do a little more show, all right?
All right. Do what I do. Get in front of them.
Time served.
You gave. Serving the universe from the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're 38 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Son of Easter Parvis.
Son of Easter Robin.
I feel badly now that I didn't say Son of Easter before. That's an awful story.
Yeah.
You're not punking us, are you?
No. Well, no, I brought the...
I read the letter.
I had to bring the evidence.
Yeah.
And how does your wife... I mean, what does she think about all of this?
You know,
she's a fairly mellow person.
Surprisingly, she wasn't angry like I thought she would be. She's like, oh, no, what are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're going to fight this. Aren't you pissed? No. She was weird. She was like, I don't know. I thought she'd be more upset about it, but she wasn't. Which I told her, remember this moment, because when I piss you off, I don't want you to be upset with me. So I want you to be understanding.
Does it feel to you sometimes like you're just snake bit, like just weird bad shit happens to you that doesn't happen to other people?
I just sometimes think I'm not focused. I'm like, God, maybe I should be just like... Just really, like, thinking about what I'm doing and really question everybody, not be so trustworthy, you know, of everybody that tells me what to do.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about the story smells bad. You know what I mean? I'm like, trying to set you up or they're trying to set the company up. Like, who benefits by fucking you?
Hey,
don't go there.
I'm not going anywhere. I just don't want you pulling out the pictures. But thank you. That was saved in my pocket. But remember early on, 6 months ago, I told you they fired somebody on my account. And
Right. There was the problem with the orbital.
Right. And
yeah.
So.
Oh, right. That's yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah.
You're right. Like, feels like somebody's like, why are you using, you know, why is it me? And there's another apprentice with me that just started the same time as me. Nothing happens wrong with him. It's all me. So.
Is it like 5 years from now, he's going to be like V for Vendetta? You know, he's just going to live in a sub-basement somewhere, throwing knives, just
copper pipe.
Yeah.
Copper's the best.
But I will let you know what happens. As a matter of fact, next Wednesday when I'm here, probably nothing will happen, so I guess I'll tell you a week from Wednesday.
You know what I love about what we've been doing on this show?
Nothing?
No, I'm not going to be... I have charity in my heart. What I love is the musical selection, and I was thinking about this. I was talking to Robin about this during the break. Think of what ABBA uses for subject matter. We've got Waterloo. We've got Fernando. You know, we've got a failed Mexican Revolution. The gunfire is nearby. We've got Waterloo, Napoleon, his last stand, the 90 days, it's over.
SOS?
Well, that doesn't fit in, so I'm leaving that out. You know, that's the exception that proves the rule, Robin. And... I don't think anyone... Isn't that a horrible phrase? Yeah, it actually hurt Robin, which is kind of why I said it. Just to cause damage. But the way they can capture the tumult and fury of battle, of rage, the raging torment of men dying and tragedy, it's incredible. Very few bands can do that, but they do.
And God bless them for it.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. They're going to have a museum.
Oh, that's adorable. You said it at the same time.
You're jealous that you didn't say it at the same time.
Yeah.
Want to do it again?
Just, yeah, okay.
One, two, three.
They're going to build a museum.
Now Sherry didn't do it.
One, two, three.
What? Huh? Sean?
What?
It's like I passed gas or something. And we had huge earth-shaking events going on in the nation's capital, did we not?
We did. Right before we came back, I said, is there something you want to bring up during the next segment? And you mentioned this Jim Webb thing. For folks who are not aware, because we have listeners outside the United States, part of the election that was held not quite a month ago now, I guess, was a change in the Senate in the state of Virginia. It had been previously George Allen, who was the son of a famous football coach and probably best known for his macaca comment, where he made a clearly disparaging racial comment about a fellow of, I guess, of Indian descent, although actually someone who was a Native American.
Right.
The other kind of
Indian. The other kind, yes. He was... He
He was
the son of naturalized citizens who came from India.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you pointing from? Is he supposed to go ning ning?
Yeah, I was expecting him to go. Oops.
She saw the red dot.
Do you have that in you? That means the turkey's done. So, or it means something else, but I won't. Okay. So he was beaten soundly in the end by a fellow named Jim Webb. It was kind of a surprise.
Right.
But eventually, Allen decided he wasn't going to push forward with a further recount and what have you. Webb is now the senator. And the president had a chance to meet, I guess, with some of the new senators. And this is where the story becomes interesting. I'll let you take over.
Well, apparently, Jim Webb, I believe, is a former Marine. I believe he served in the military as an officer.
He's a decorated Marine officer.
And his son is also in the Marines. I think he's a Lance Corporal, and he is serving currently in Iraq. He is one of the American troops stationed in Iraq and part of the occupation. And or the war on terror, depending on what, you know, if you're on that side of the fence. Yes. And the president.
Is he with the blue or the gray? Sorry, it's not a civil war. I'm sorry.
Apparently, during this meet and greet, the president took the opportunity to ask him how his son was doing.
Right. Because he obviously knew that he was in the military and stationed in Iraq.
Right. I'm sure this came up repeatedly during the election. And
Webb, I don't think the president would remember it from that. I'm sure the minutes before he walked in, somebody said to him, he has a son in Iraq.
Right.
But you're being very gracious. So maybe he remembers it from the election. Sure.
In any case, the president asked him about his son's situation. I believe he asked him if his son was doing well. How was his son doing?
Right.
To which Webb responded, I sure wish he was home, or words to that effect. And he, the president, snapped back, that's not what I asked you. Webb, a decorated Marine, someone who didn't skate out of his obligation to his country, apparently wanted to beat the effing crap out of our president. And ooh, what a good story that would have been.
It said here that Webb confessed that he was so angered by the president's retort, he was tempted to slug the commander-in-chief, but of course he didn't. It's safe to say, however, that Bush and Webb won't be taking any overseas trips together anytime soon. This I thought was interesting. Jim did have a conversation with Bush at the dinner, said the spokesman. Basically, he was asked about Jim's son. Jim expressed the fact that he wanted him to be home, blah, blah, blah. It was a private conversation. A White House spokeswoman declined to give Bush's version of the conversation. So I wonder which one is accurate. The one that they're not giving or the one that they are giving. But this has now taken on some fairly horrific statistics. We have now been in Iraq longer than America was involved in World War II.
That is correct.
That is now I certainly understand that World War II didn't begin with America's entry into the war, that there was a war going on before we showed up.
Sure.
But we brought the booze. But
exactly. I think that the war would have petered out.
We brought the Jaeger.
Show me your titties.
Nazis gone wild.
It's true. You know, the war was raging for a couple of years before we got in. But we're also approaching another milestone regarding World War II. Soon, I believe in the next 6 months, in adjusted dollars, obviously, this conflict, the Iraq war / occupation, will have actually cost more than World War II cost the United States to fight, which is a staggering number. And I think...
Why are there not troop carriers right now taking people out of the region? I understand that maybe we don't want to bring them all home immediately. Maybe they need to be relocated to other parts of the Middle East or friendly countries in the neighboring areas in case, you know, something happens. But why are there not people being evacuated from the middle of Baghdad as we speak?
I do not understand what the problem with some sort of a strategic withdrawal is. Although, you know, soon to be a leader in the Congress, Congressman Murtha,
who has been a proponent for about a year now of some kind of adjustment in military strategy that would allow the U.S. to essentially pull out of Iraq.
Right.
His idea is, you know, you get, sort of get over the horizon. You put your troops into bases which are located strategically near Iraq so right. that they can come in.
But they're not there every day so that people don't see us and it right. doesn't continue to engender the flames of hatred and...
I have heard the critique of that plan is that no country wants to be associated with one of these forward bases.
Okay.
So they're all, you know, they're all Muslim states, essentially, and none of them, you know, Qatar and Jordan and these
Kuwait,
these small countries nearby don't want to invite the unrest that might befall them if they actually, you know, housed and harbored large numbers of American troops.
Right. Well, what about Germany? I mean, they're planning on bringing up Rumsfeld on war crime charges, so or they were at least a
yeah.
week ago. I don't, maybe that's been dropped at this point. But, I mean, it's not like they have to walk there.
No.
Right?
No, we've got Ramstein Air Force Base, a huge,
yeah,
I mean,
they,
a colossal.
They get mopeds. They can, right, we can move them in and out of certain places. I mean, you don't really talk much about this in political terms, but what's your feeling about this? As someone who has some ties to that region, you know, through your family.
Well, the president of Iran doesn't make me feel any better.
Okay.
Well, obviously, he has...
Ahmadinejad.
He has some aggressive
Ahmadinejad. Yeah, he's not making us feel good about our people.
But we keep sticking our finger in everyone's eye over there, forcing them into positions where they have to shake their saber. I mean, we don't know what would happen. Well, we do know what would happen with respect to the United States if we weren't there, because that's what was happening with respect to the United States before we got there.
Right.
And that is, except for some extremists, some wackos in Al-Qaeda, there was nothing happening. We were not being brutalized on a daily basis.
No.
We completely defocused and destabilized. We have completely destabilized the region. And every day you now see more people. Today, before we went on the air, Colin Powell now is calling it a civil war. Like, that's the thing. It's so bizarre. It's like civil war, the N-word. Somehow these words have such power that if you call it a civil war, it changes what it is. If you say the N-word, it changes what it is. It's hate speech, whether you say the N-word or... Whatever you say, it's hate speech. It's what you're thinking, not the words that come out of your mouth. Same thing with the Civil War aspect of it. This is a catastrophe.
Right.
That's the C word.
Whatever euphemism you come up with, I mean, I understand that they want to slip the Civil War noose by saying that there are not organized forces vying for control of the civil government, and that may in fact be true. But the anarchy, the chaos, the fact that there are armed militias that seem to have some sort of hierarchic structure,
right,
that seem to report to people, and they do seem intent on getting, controlling, holding territory, and by doing that, having some greater say in the civil operation of the government of Iraq, I mean, I just think it's a rose by any other name. It stinks. I don't know what's going on there, but I also think these remarks, particularly the web reflecting back to that, just shows the callousness,
yeah,
the incredible callousness of George Bush. And if for those people who try to cut him slack, I think it's very difficult after that remark to think that he gives a shit about the men and women over there fighting.
I mean, if you were the president... Well, we'd be in so much better shape. But if you were the president and he said that, there's only one thing to say, which is, me too. Right? Me too. That's what you say. You know, you say, I wish my son were home. It's like, I do too. And hopefully we'll be able to work together and make that happen more quickly.
Right. There are so many diplomatic outs. It was not he really wasn't given... It wasn't the Kobayashi Maru. You know, he wasn't... That's another catchphrase. I just want you to know. It wasn't
one
of those...
I feel like Japanese food for dinner.
Let's go.
Feel like chicken tonight?
Okay.
It wasn't a no-win scenario. There were things he could have said that would have diffused the situation, very easily.
Right.
But he decided not to. It didn't even, I think, occur to him.
He's a damaged individual.
He really
is. And no one
is.
Wants to talk about that, but he's so clearly a damaged individual. The inability of the president to admit mistakes, the inability to accept personal responsibility, the inability to put into context global events. I mean, the fact that he has trouble speaking and he's a fumble mouth, it's sort of, that's funny, but that's not really important. But the fact that he doesn't seem to have the ability to hold compassion.
Yeah, empathy.
No empathy, no compassion.
It's
astounding to me, especially as someone who professes to be born again. The New Testament is full of teachings of compassion and empathy and unconditional love.
You know, I think that he views himself perhaps more in the light of a Nietzsche-like Ubermensch. You know, maybe he's the Superman who can exceed that banal slave morality, and he's bigger than that. But he's retarded, and that's really the problem.
Kent. There was a real gent.
Anybody can be the president.
But not anybody can work in the union. And that's...
I think the next president is Michael Richards.
That's what we're learning here. All right. Quick break. And we'll come on back. Let's see. A short song. What's a good little short song here? Ring, ring.
I've never heard of it. I'll be anxious to hear.
There's all kinds of ABBA tunes that don't get played in this country. But we got them right here for you on the Wacky Morning Show.
Woo, 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 woo.
With Parviz and the Persian.
It's 10 after the hour.
It's 10 after the hour.
It's cold and nippy.
It's Crazy Wednesday. You'd listen though, wouldn't you?
That was our morning show. Would you listen every morning?
Uh-huh. Opposite.
Can you imagine your alarm goes off and all you hear is no, no, no?
All right, we'll take a break. You didn't say yes.
I did not.
All right, well, I respect you more for that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Tell me how
Well, oh, here's the thing. We're back. I know. I fucked up. We're back because normally what I play at this point is the da-na-da-da-na-da-na-da-na.
The and closing segment?
Amazing, I didn't turn your mic on.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, we forgot two important
How
things.
How the fuck did that happen? Normally I play the thing, and yeah. and I just looked here on the little song presets, and for some reason it's not there. And so I just, all right.
You want me to do it for you? There it is.
All right.
Mission to Moscow.
You know the story. I mean, you know I played this, I've been playing this song for over 30 years.
Oh, you haven't played it at all today? You haven't played it at all today?
I don't
This is your closing segment, right?
Yeah, that's the opening song, too. But
is it the opening?
Yeah, after the little, you know.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Laura, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Wow, that's good.
You sound just like that voice.
It was me.
I know.
But, you know, Dr. Laura was a big deal at that time.
Dr. Laura, it's amazing how someone could be such an enormous cultural phenom, and
I used her,
yeah,
right when I was doing that, you know, the kind of, you know, hey baby, show me, which is your generic morning DJ type,
right?
And the today and all things considered to death, Moss, that's your standard NPR crap,
right?
But Dr. Laura was a specific dig at a specific person, right? Who said that I'm my mother, my daughter's mother, or whatever the hell that was, her one line, right? Or, you know, and now I think people don't have no idea what... They don't have no idea. Yeah. They just don't have no idea.
Shucks.
And... Nip it.
Ding 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 ding.
Gee, I don't got one. I don't got one.
If we were going to play a game show, what would be your sound?
Well, I think I delivered it earlier.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Acaloids, my friend.
Acaloids, my friend.
Acaloids, my friend.
Acaloids, my friend.
Well, there you go.
No, that's the end of the show?
I was saying I've been playing this music for...
I have a list of things to talk about.
Oh, wow.
We never got to my list.
We got 3 minutes.
Let's add 2 more hours.
Well, I'll give you a minute.
Okay, the blind people and the money. We all know about that? The blind people, they want us to change the currency to bigger, smaller denominations.
Right.
Ah.
They're saying Americans with civil disabilities, no, whatever, can't, right, they can't see the money.
They can't see the money, but other countries, we have different sizes, different colors, I don't know why, different sizes, different colors.
They can see the money.
Right. They can shop at their local supermarket with different size denominations,
right,
bills.
Right.
Wouldn't it just be cheaper to cure blindness? I mean, what? It just seems like an ass backwards thing to do to me to change our currency when we should just fucking cure blindness.
All right, what's on your list?
Yeah, what's number two?
Yeah, that didn't go well.
He solved it.
Okay, Wiggles, the singers of Wiggles. He's dying and he's going to be quitting the band.
Wiggles?
Yeah, the guy in the yellow shirt. That guy, the singer, has got a disease.
Do you ever see this many people with their mouths hanging open who were not watching you do comedy?
It wasn't funny. This poor guy's dying.
Tragic.
We understand that.
All right. The other one, the street signs in Germany. Did you hear about the little town in Germany where they got rid of all the street signs, street lights, stop signs, no parking zones, speed limits, street lights, and they're down to 2 more lights on the street, and they're letting people drive however, park wherever, do whatever, because they feel when you are controlled by signs, you cannot think for yourself. And this little town is doing just fine. There's no accidents. People are driving as fast as they want. They're stopping whenever they want. They're running, you know, intersections. Interesting, interesting stuff. The other one is I saw For Your Consideration, the new movie with Christopher Guest. Absolutely horrible. I thought it was terrible. I didn't enjoy it at all. It wasn't as fast paced as Best in Show or the music one.
Mighty Wind.
Yes, pass. Mighty Wind. I saw Borat. Yeah, I was shocked. I thought it wasn't total hilarity, but there was a couple scenes I was completely shocked by.
Pass.
Okay. the cop that shot that other guy 50 times in the car at that guy's wedding or the guy's reception. The cop that shot the right? The N-word guy?
Pass.
Okay. Kid Rock blames Borat for breaking up with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, that's a good one. Go with that.
Okay. Absolutely unreal because Borat...
9, 8, 7,
Kid Rock.
Six,
Borat's better looking than Kid
five,
Rock.
4, 3, two, one. That was outstanding. A lightning round of Parviz Fatali. That was the whole show. If you didn't listen to the first hour and 59 minutes, you missed the best fucking part. All right, listen, we're out of time. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. We'll be back next week. Have yourself a great time. Thank you, guys. You guys are all great. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.